We had to sing a hymn that makes me cry every time, so I'm a bit famished. And this is called Finding My Voice at UUCMC, which I didn't expect to be finding up here. All my life I've loved singing. I've also known and been told that my voice is not particularly good. So I do what other non-musical singers do. I sing in the shower, in the car alone, to the radio, or sotto voce in crowds. This was true initially at UUCMC also, as I began to learn the hymns and recognized among them some of my old favorite folk songs. Some months into my attendance, I ended up sharing a hymnal with a new friend. At the end of the service, I apologized to her for my bad singing. "You didn't sound bad to me," she responded. She probably doesn't know what a profound effect her answer had on me. I haven't joined the choir yet, but I am able to sing in more than an undertone and to feel my voice adding to the community. While this is a specific example, it is also a metaphor for what my participation in UUCMC means to me. It is a place where I can make mistakes, where I don't have to be perfect to contribute, and where I am accepted for who and what I am. For this, I am profoundly grateful. Or, more succinctly, in the words of folk singer Bill Staines, and I'm not going to sing this, maybe next year, all God's children have a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands, pause, or anything they got now.
Howdy, I'm Denise Fredericks. As I was sitting at Coffee Hour one Sunday a few weeks ago, laughing with one of my many friends with my full body about our shared extreme delight in chewing on bones, chicken, ribs, turkey, and why in the world they invented boneless wings, I finally solidified my reasons for being so thankful to be a part of this place. I have a mutual bond with so many like-minded and varied-minded people with good hearts and caring souls. One has become my kid's grandma. A few have become quite close friends. Some walk with Bella, my big dog, and me on Mondays. And as Jeannie Perkins frequently says, "You fill my heart! UUCMC fills my heart." I recall the day that I was walking in the park with another member, a very close buddy, and got an aha experience when she said, "You know, Denise, it seems that everything bad that happens in your life is more of a problem because of your internal feelings about it than the event itself. You handle things wonderfully, but get caught up in your own self-dread." Wow. You can't pay for words of wisdom like these. As Visa says, priceless. And then there is the couple who have guided me from being a self-criticizing, can't-get-it-right, well-meaning do-gooder to a self-fulfilled, confident woman. And I must also proudly mention the crew, the members, this being the women's group. You see, at the age of 19, my first husband, who was my idol, said incessantly, "Peace of mind is everything one could hope for." And theoretically, I understood that for 40 years, which led to 40 years of heavy-duty soul-searching before the perfect storm, in a good way, allowed me to converge all the things that this place has helped me to be exposed to, so that I now know the glorious feeling of wanting to shout from the mountaintops more often than not. Thank you, one and all. For when you feel complete, you can be a much more positive force in your surroundings. Even when your UU-bred son is trying to convince you that he is allowed to dominate my cozy reading chair because his inherent worth and dignity are equal to mine, and therefore the chair is up for grabs.
I have been inspired this past year by the generosity, strength, and relentless work by people throughout this community. I was very moved by last week's sermon on background people, since it provided an important reminder that contributions to this congregation flow all around us, and most of them are not immediately or fully visible. Budgeting and stewardship demands looking to the future to identify and weigh priorities. But it is also a useful time to acknowledge all the energy, creativity, and dedication that our staff, members, and friends bring to the table. It happens in this room, in that room in the back. Can you hear me okay? The kitchen, the RE classrooms, the offices across the hall, Edgewood House, and that's just within our walls. I think I was missing some rooms there. On behalf of my kids, I'll mention the grounds, especially the playground, but I could go much further. It is all of this work that fuels the growth and maintains the stability of our congregation, enabling us to care for and help one another. I am grateful for all those who enrich this place. Thank you.
I'm Karen Christiana, and I'm a member of the music committee. I came to UCMC when I was in a very dark time in my life. I would sit in this earth room at service, and the music, the hymns, the words, and the notes would wash over me, often causing tears, but also giving me hope and a soft place to heal. Within a few weeks of being here, I saw an announcement in the order of service which was calling for singers for Giving Voice. They met in the East Room on Mondays. I just walked in one Monday, and I was welcomed there. Penny asked me, which part are you going to sing? And everyone accepted me with open arms. Music is a large part of how I worship. The newness of the music, the hymns I had never heard before, these were bringing me back to myself. The warm embrace of this little choir showed me how I could make a difference in the world. Once I was in Giving Voice, it wasn't long before I started singing with UU singers and met Louise. What an amazing heart and soul she has. Everyone is welcome to participate in music here at UUCMC. Children can sing with the chalice singers. Pickup band is here for those that play instruments as a professional or as a beginner. All are welcome. UU singers, of course, and small groups sometimes get together to sing a song or two in service. One of the things that really stands out for me when I sang with Giving Voice and the UU singers is we don't just keep that inside our walls. We're doing a choir exchange with Somerset Hills, UU. A small group is going to the Faith Action Choral Festival in Washington's Crossing next week. We sang at the Black Lives Matter rally, just spur of the moment, but so lovely. With Giving Voice, we sang at gatherings in Red Bank for LGBTQ youth, and at multiple weddings here, right here, at UUCMC after same-sex marriage was passed. About a year after I signed the membership book, my friend Liz Tortorella said, Karen, would you be interested in being in the music committee? And I said, sure, not knowing at all what that meant. Well, being in the music committee has been one of the most amazing experiences of my time here. Liz is a wonderful leader and a great chairperson. She's completely inclusive and wants everyone's input. Under her leadership, we had the second annual UULM&J Choral Festival here at UUCMC. Because of her tireless work and the generosity of this congregation and the board, Louise has more hours and is expanding our music program. We have expanded our use of guest musicians, not only for Music Sunday and Sundays when Louise is not here, but also to add different cultures to our musical support in the service. There is an amazing group of musicians here at UUCMC, people volunteering their talent and expertise, which has helped to develop an amazing program that I don't think you see just anywhere, special for here. I just want to thank out loud those volunteers, all the people that make this program what it is. As you can see, music here at UUMC, it's very, very special to me. It saved me when I needed a soft place to land. It's enriched my life every day since. It also gives me a place to give back to this wonderful, amazing, welcoming community.
Morning. I have to share with you that the view that I get from up here is so inspiring and beautiful. And I know our speakers today are going to get a glimpse into what that looks like from here. I want to explore what it means to transform ourselves. And I'd like to invite Maya Nestor Watt to share a reflection with us.
A little nervous, so bear with me, but my buddy John Lee says I'm going to do just fine. All right. Good morning. My name is Maya. Many of you have seen me, but unless you have a child here, you may not actually know me. I was born and raised at UU. From my youth, I was fully involved in a thriving congregation in Cherry Hill. It was my perspective that everyone showed up for the kids. On Sundays, the UU children of Cherry Hill went to service, walked to our classes, and after that, ran around the exterior of the meeting house during coffee hour. It was my understanding that the adults waited for us to finish our time together, passing the hours drinking coffee and engaged in boring conversations. Now, as a coffee-drinking grown-up, I have carried this perception with me that the children of UU are so important to our faith community. I chose this congregation, a 45-minute commute from my house, because the way children are present in all the services and sung out each time. It is the connection they feel to their congregation now that brings them back as adults. As a junior youth group advisor, I have learned that part of being a UU is about teaching our children to carry out our message and our principles. I feel it is my job to help support our young Unitarians as they take their passion, power, energy, and fearlessness out into the world. They want to make it a better place. Our youth groups are learning about the proposed AIDS principle and working to make it a reality. They learn about gun violence, racism, how to defend and stand up for others. They march, give speeches, and they often speak up in crowds where their voice is the minority. My experience as a JYG advisor and my seeing what our youth can do firsthand has enhanced my view of what being a UU is about in many ways. But mostly, I have learned the important work we do as adults is to support our youth as they learn about their world and seek ways to make it a better place. Thank you, and may the spirit of love surround you.
Total rock star, Maya. You can do the story next week. So last week I asked all of our classes to reflect on our programs and how they equip us to rise up. And now I'd like to invite Layla Merhi, who's going to speak on behalf of the 8th and 9th grade Our Whole Lives class.
I'm Layla Merhi, and I'm a 9th grader in the Our Whole Lives class. So OWL, for short, is a great program for multiple reasons. Though it may be a bit uncomfortable in the beginning, it can also be very fun at times. The discussion we have is the type that we couldn't have most other places, open and respectful. Speaking for myself as well as the rest of my class this year, the program helps us learn more about ourselves and others, lets us know what to do in uncomfortable situations, and gives us a language to describe our thoughts and feelings. It also teaches us how to have healthy relationships and how to communicate. One thing some of my classmates and I find particularly beneficial about this class is the fact that we can gain more knowledge about the LGBT plus community in order to help others. All in all, OWL is a very useful and rewarding class, and we appreciate all the adult volunteers who make it happen. Thank you.
For those of you who might not know, Our Whole Lives is a program on sexuality education, as we realize that we are exploring this throughout our lives. So once upon a time, long, long ago, approximately 8 years, 8 months, and 4 days, a young adult woman by UUA standards, under the age of 35, arrived here at this Unitarian Universalist congregation of Monmouth County in a little town called Lincroft for her first day as your director of religious education. And she didn't know at the time that the experience would turn out to be the most transformative 8 years, 8 months, and 4 days of her life. We willingly enter into this community from all backgrounds and beliefs, but with shared values. And we commit our lives to purpose and meaning, to create community, to transform ourselves, and to transform the world. And you know, we don't have a tendency to think small. We know that as humans, we continue to grow throughout the span of our lives. And that transforming ourselves is the foundation for creating community and transforming the world. To transform ourselves means that we have to keep questioning and learning, to go deeper in our understanding of ourselves and the world around us. And my role as Director of Religious Education gives me some insight, a view into the big picture of how we're doing on this journey. When I began at this congregation, our current high school seniors were in third grade, working on their stepping stone year. A rite of passage to honor growing up in a movement through the stages of life where we can begin to form our own thoughts about life's big questions. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Is there a God or a higher power? I've watched as those youth and many before and after them completed their coming of age year, which culminates with their statement of belief, knowing that their beliefs will continue to evolve throughout their life, that this is just a snapshot. The move to bridging, another tradition celebrating young adulthood and all that comes with it as we go. And then as adults, through our sessions and classes to articulate their own faith, to learn and to grow. I realize that it's challenging to tell a story about someone else's transformation, but I shall try. Our anti-racism and Black Lives Matter movement is the clearest way for me to paint the picture. As Unitarian Universalists, we pride ourselves in being accepting of others, of all races, sexual orientation, religions, and beliefs. And as mostly a white congregation, we do this work proudly. But is it enough just to be a Unitarian Universalist? Is it enough to host a rally? Is it enough to put a sign on our building? I'm going to say that it is pretty awesome, but it is not enough. When the UUA identified that Unitarian Universalist structures were soaked in white privilege, or worse, white supremacy, it horrified many of us. Us? No way. I remember coming in the Tuesday after all of this unfolded and talking to Reverend Virginia and saying, yes, we do indeed have work to do, but white supremacy, it's a little much. And the word, it can trigger for us many feelings and emotions, especially as we're trying to be the exact opposite. And I've watched as many of you have struggled with the words, especially when you're committed to challenging structures of white supremacy. Our hearts and minds, they are in the very best place, committed to this work long before the current movements. And it's hard work, sometimes causing us feelings of shame, but it is work that challenges the systems of oppression to better support and stand with people of color. So one more story. I sometimes perform child dedications for families that are not Unitarian Universalist, but have been told that they cannot have their child recognized in another denomination because the godparent or parents are gay, Jewish, or just not religious enough. I was recently speaking with a family, and the grandfather asked me multiple times, how can Unitarian Universalists stick to their values and beliefs in the absence of a creed or God? Well, I thought that I had eloquently explained it multiple times as he continued to ask me, but it just didn't seem to do it for him. And I admit that the fifth time that he asked me, I had become a little frustrated. I spoke from my heart at that point, and I said, because we believe in humanity and what is possible. Because being a good person and living our values is just the right thing to do. Making an intentional decision to live these values and to challenge ourselves to go deeper and to grow is who we are at our core. It's who we are. And I think that that choice, making that choice, is what I love about us so much. So today is about our stories. And I've prepared a video that I want to play with for you that brings in the voices of our children and youth. It brings it to life and the story of this incredible place, and perhaps gives you a little insight into why I have the best job ever. What do you get out of being a part of our UUCMC community?
I get support from a lot of people. I get friendship.
I get a safe environment that I can be happy in, and I can help others embrace themselves.
Here at UUCMC to help make the world a better place.
I've learned 7 principles and that everybody has equal rights in their own building.
How does OWL help you rise up?
OWL teaches us acceptance and to love each other for who they are and that is what we do at our communities. To rise up is to help people in need, to be able to share my wealth and my love and my happiness with people who are in need, just like refugees and all these undocumented immigrants who are being taken away by ICE and stuff like that. And this community shows me how to do that by, you know, sharing their love and their wealth and their happiness with me, and then I can give back to the community.
When Greg was being really mean to Blue and the other colors, what did it take for everyone to become friends?
One.
One. So sometimes all it takes is?
One.
Okay. So here's our choices for what we can be when we dress up. We could either be vampires, mummies, or singing pumpkins. Okay, so you make your choice. How many people want to be vampires? Okay, Ruby wants to be a vampire. Anybody else for vampires? How about mummies? Who wants to be a mummy? Liz wants to be a mummy, so we have one vote for vampires, one vote for mummies. Chickens. So what you're doing here, it seems like you're doing a write-in vote for a fourth option. But we could dress up like chickens.
Chickens.
Okay, well we've just added that to the ballot. So now, I think it's only fair, does anybody else want to change their vote? Because everybody else has voted, but maybe you want to think about chickens. Does anybody want to change their vote to chickens? Or are we, you're changing your vote to chickens? It looks like we're going to be chickens next week.
Chickens.
Rise Up by Andra Day, and did you find it inspiring in any way?
It was very inspiring because it kept on saying that she'll rise up,
mm-hmm.
and that she will keep on persevering until she gets to the point that she wants to get to.
Nice. What do you think,
Jess? It's like inspiring because she gets up and she'll do it. Even though it hurts and it's hard, she does it anyway. She does it with people, and it helps to do it with people because when you all work together, things get done quicker.
Who can be more inspiring than our children and youth? And the chickens. The chickens have it. So the song that is about to be performed actually came. That's the song they were talking about in our fourth and fifth grade class, Rise Up.
You know, they say never to follow children or animals. I'm going to add, never follow Thomas Cannizzaro. I'm Jane Reskov. Because of Unitarian Universalism, My child, sitting here, teenage children, are living and promoting the seven principles in their daily lives. To clarify, I will be speaking about Monica Batone's daughters, Emily and Hannah, my daughter and granddaughters, respectively. The girls were dedicated in this sanctuary and began their religious education here during their formative years. Emily is now 19, Hannah 15. I'm going to tell you about two examples where these young women are living the traditions they were taught many years ago. Emily, now a freshman at Rowan University, recently told me the following story. Her roommate was talking about Rutgers University and expressing disapproval. Why? Because according to her, there are a lot of Chinese students enrolled there, and she was saying that because of their ethnicity, they are not true Americans. Hearing this, Emily could not hold back her opinion that just because their heritage is not that of Northern European, did not exclude them from being true Americans. They are as American, excuse me, you've got a bit of a cold. They're as American as you and me, Emily told her. Emily is living the fifth principle, the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within society at large. Hannah is a high school sophomore currently studying American Sign Language. When Hannah turned 13, it was discovered that she had a hearing problem in her right ear. Consequently, Hannah developed great empathy for people who are hard of hearing. She recently stated to me that even if I can translate for just one hard of hearing person, what I am learning will all be worth it. This is living the first and second principles, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and equity and compassion in human relations. Appreciation goes to Unitarian Universalism, which has helped in the shaping of two citizens who are ever mindful of others' feelings and are courageous enough to let their long ago learned values lead the way to a more charitable, kind, and benevolent world.
Good morning. I'm not Ashling. I'm Amy. I'm John Lee's mom. So I have two reasons to be up here today. One is to tell a little bit about me, and one is to talk about Casa Freehold. So if you know me at all, you know that my passion is social justice. And until I came to UUCMC, I really had nowhere to direct that. I dibbed and dabbed a little bit, but I really had nowhere to find where I could use my talents and passion to make the world a better place. So UUCMC has done that for me in so many ways, and I can never be more grateful. But right now, what I'm really passionate about is Casa Freehold. Casa Freehold works with the immigration community in Freehold and the surrounding areas. We are a port in the storm for these immigrants. We help them find work. We help them find lawyers and doctors. We submit wage theft claims for them, which unfortunately they need a lot. We accompany them to court and to immigration hearings. We offer support for families that have had someone be deported. Sometimes we just listen to their stories. Sometimes we just give them a place to just be for an afternoon. For those immigrants that don't have legal documentation, life is just that much harder. For example, the schools are providing testing for lead, but if a landlord is informed that his rental is not safe, he can just evict the tenants rather than fix it. Many landlords refuse to return deposits. People are afraid to report assault or theft because they don't want to bring attention to themselves. And the reasons why people don't have documentation are as varied as the people themselves. Since this is the day for telling stories, I would like to share a story of someone I met recently. She is a young woman that volunteers at Casa Freehold. She came to this country on a work visa as an au pair. She met someone, got married, had a child. Her spouse turned violent and she left him. Her visa requires her to go back to her country of origin for a period of time, and then she'll be allowed to return, which she has no problem doing. However, her child's father has refused to allow her to take him out of the country. Normally, she would petition the courts because of her extenuating circumstances, but with the current climate, she's afraid to do that. So she lives with the fear that anything, even jaywalking, could expose her to the authorities and she could get deported without her child. Like so many others, she is left with no real choices. Everyone at Casa Freeholds is a volunteer, even the director, who works over 40 hours a week. All the money that is received is used to keep the doors open so the community can get the help it needs. And some months, it's the last day of the month and we're begging money to pay the rent. With the current political climate and the ramped up efforts of ICE, this help is needed now more than ever. And we could not do it without you people here at UUCMC. You have been such a fantastic help, and I hope your generosity continues. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Anthony Giorgio. Some of you know me, some of you don't. The kids know me because I work with the kids in the senior youth group. And it's very inspiring. I joined this church about 2 years ago, moving here with my husband. We live in Neptune, coming all the way from Manhattan. But it's very exciting and inspiring to know that everyone is doing their part. I mean, even showing up today is really important because that means you are doing your part. We are doing our part together. I recently have been working with UU's Faith Action and Social Justice. I'm big right now in social justice because there's a lot going on, as you know, with gun violence. And the other day, I attended the Judiciary Assembly meeting at the State House, and they're voting on 7 gun laws to pass in the state of New Jersey. I won't get into all of that. However, it was very interesting to be a part of two specific worlds, the opposing side and the for side. And I spoke to a lot of the opposing side because it is our job as humans to talk to people and find out where they come from and how it affects them. And the one thing that everyone kept doing across the board, even the people behind the assembly members, everyone just kept talking about statistics. Statistics this. There's so many statistics. A lot of people are dying in the world with guns. But specifically in America, we have a big problem. And the one thing that everyone kept leaving out was, and no one talked about it, our kids. It's not even in the laws. Doesn't have anything to do with them. And they don't feel safe right now. We know that. And another thing that no one talked about at all is talking. We don't talk enough to each other. We're afraid of each other for some reason. And I have made it my purpose to not do that. I talk to everybody. I talk to anyone I see. I ask them questions about them first. And then, of course, we can talk about all the other things. So I had to do something. I do a lot of philanthropic work, and I just returned from India, and all the stuff in Florida happened. And I decided to create, literally 2 weeks ago, a concert that's happening that I would love all of you to come to. It's on March 14th at 7 p.m. at the Asbury Hotel. The Asbury Hotel has graciously donated their hall to me, and all of the talent in the community is coming. We have 5 kids coming from this church to speak on behalf of gun violence and how it affects them going to school. Some of them are here today. They're not going to get up today, but so you have to come see them. The fundraiser goes to Everytown. Is a movement of Americans working together to end gun violence and build safer communities. And it's just really important. Not everybody wants to go and march. Not everybody wants to go and chain themselves to a door or speak to those politicians because they're scared. But this is my way of giving to you of how to show up and do something. It's a $10 donation. All the money goes to the organization. And in fact, the former mayor of New York City created the organization, he's matching whatever I make. So I've already succeeded, and I've already succeeded in having the community be a part of it. So please ask me questions after service at the fabulous pancake breakfast in over there. And I would love to give you the ticket link, and if you can show up on March 14th, that'd be great. If you can't, donate. If you can't, just do something. Just talk to somebody. That is the most important thing that we have to do inside of any social justice movement. Thank you.
Well, my friends, I wrote some things, but the pancakes are cooling. And I think Anthony is absolutely right. The most important thing to do today is talk to one another. Talk to each other about how you will rise up, how UUCMC together will rise up. We have some things on the tables in the when you're eating to help you do that, some questions. But most importantly, it is to be there for one another and to engage deeply in this conversation about how we together can change this world, make it the world that we imagine and know because of our experience here is possible. Let us be a community of peace that rises up in body and spirit and lets our voices be heard. And that is the shortest sermon you will ever hear me give. Amen.